Here we go. Welcome all. Right on time. Love that. We're here with the January NICPED APE Collaborative. Our topic this week, this month is exemplary master's programs in adapted PE. Again, as I was shouting behind the scenes to those who are participating, just because your favorite master's APE program isn't here, A, doesn't mean they weren't invited and it didn't work for your schedule, and B, doesn't mean that they're not exemplary as well. We only had time to do about four programs today. I am excited because I think we have a good gathering from different locales from across the United States. We have East Coast, a Southern school, a Western university, a Midwest university. So I think that we have a nice sprinkling across the US. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and we'll do the official welcome on behalf of NICPED. Oh, I don't want to do that. Slideshow. There we go. So today, our schedule, tentatively, we're here for an hour. First up, we are going to have Dr. Allie Bryan from University of South Carolina. And then Dr. Young and I will chat about CSU Long Beach and our program. We've got Brock McMullen from University of Wisconsin La Crosse. And Amori Samalot-Rivera from State University of New York, Brockport. After that, we will do about 10 minutes of Q&A where you can ask us anything. I know I'm very excited for today. I feel that I'm confident I'm going to pick up at least a tip or two from these great programs. And that's how I always feel. If I can go to a session and I pick up at least one tip, it was definitely worth my time. So I hope that you all see that value as well. Today we are live on NICPED's Facebook page, and this will also be posted to NICPED's YouTube and a future edition of What's New in Adapted PE podcast. So without further ado, I'm going to stop my screen share, and Allie is going to start us off with her master's program at USC.
Thanks, Melissa. Okay, am I good?
Yep, wonderful. All good.
Well, hello everyone. As Melissa said, I am Allie Bryan, the former director of the Master of Science in Adapted Physical Education here at the University of South Carolina. I appreciate the invitation from you, Melissa, and all the work that you and Amanda and the committee does. It's just so much time and effort, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am. So thankful for all that you do, and I'm happy to be here and chat about our 100% online program. So we have a new coordinator of the program who couldn't be here today. Many of you here probably know Dr. Andrea Taliaferro, so I'm proud to announce that she took over the reins of this program for me starting immediately. So these are our fine faculty, and we do not, you know, put on great programming by ourselves. And I'm very proud to say that almost all of us are NICPED members, former executive board or board of director folks, committee workers, and quite a few of us have our CAPE certification. And the one lone non-NICPED member, Dr. Mitchell, is a national, perhaps world expert in special education law. And he teaches a class for us on special ed law that focuses on adapted PE cases. So these are the majority of our faculty, and I'm very proud of them. I have a couple of student shout outs. These just happened. We're proud to say that one of our current students, Jen Hebink, was last year's National APE Teacher of the Year. And she's here on my left, presenting at the California National APE Conference there. So we're very proud of her. And then we just found out that a former student of ours, Bailey Hickey, was just named the New Jersey AFERD APE Teacher of the Year. So we've had some really wonderful students, and this is not exhaustive by any scope. These are just our most recent award winners. We've had quite a few come through. All right, so before I talk about the program that we in our highlights, I wanted to also mention that we do have a robust doctoral program. And here are three of my former students, also NCPED folks. It's Dr. Alex Stribbing, you can't see her, but she's a professor now at Kane University, New Jersey. Matthew Patey was at Bridgewater State University. And Emily Gilbert, who's at SUNY Cortland. Here they were when they were doc students working in our swim and gym or Friday program or whatever you all call it, our practicum program for our undergraduates. So here's a few program highlights. One, we are 100% online, mostly asynchronous, and our courses range in length from 3 to 8 weeks. We provide a lot of flexibility because when we designed this program, we were thinking of the in-service teacher. The in-service teacher also tends to coach, as they do lots of service type things, families, they have so much going on. So we tried to make this as flexible as humanly possible for them so they can complete our degree in 1 year or on their time. It's very
Sounds like
flexible
morning still.
in its delivery choices. We have two different starting points. Students can start in the summer or the fall. And what's neat about our program is that if you're a certified teacher in the state of South Carolina, you get a special tuition rate. But if you're out of state, you get in-state tuition. So that's something we negotiated from the beginning. So if you're thinking of applying or know anyone that could be interested, all our application fees for our graduate programs are waived for this year, for the 24-25 academic year. So get those applications in. These are our starting dates. If you want to start in the fall, you've got to apply by March 15th. So hurry, scurry. Otherwise, I'm sorry, that was summer start. If you want to start in the fall, you have till June, and we do not require the GRE. Okay, so I know we're to talk about some of our coursework. One thing that's, I don't know if it's unique, but I think it's awesome about our program is, if anyone knows me, this will not be surprising. We're heavily rooted in a developmental perspective. So our courses build upon each other in scope and sequence with a heavy emphasis on motor learning, motor development, and how those facets play and translate practically for teachers. Right? So we have our intro course, entire course on universal design, practicum, motor learning, motor development, an action research course, which I'll talk a little bit more about here in a second. Principles of adapted sport coaching co course, measurement, and then, of course, Mitchell's class on legal issues. And this is, I can't say enough about this, how lucky we are to have him on faculty to specifically go over cases about adapted PE. He's so knowledgeable. I know the students love it. So very proud of that. We are going to be doing a little changing. We have historically offered the psychosocial aspects of athletic performance and injury rehabilitation. And we're now going to offer that as an elective if students would prefer to take a course in our special ed program called Managing Problem Behavior in the Classroom. And we all know that that's important. So instead of it being sprinkled across all of the courses, we're now going to have its own home. And for right now, the students can choose one of these, but we may revisit that depending on student choice and feedback. Okay, so the key assignments. Well, this is kind of hard to say because all the courses really build upon each other. We integrate content throughout. And the biggest thing about us, because our program does specifically target the in-service working teacher, is we want all of our assignments to really focus immediately on that applicability. Right? So what is the teacher's situation? What's going on? And can we design your assignments to make it relevant for you? What are you currently doing? How can we improve it? How can your reflection help each other? Sort of deal. That's definitely a key aspect. All our assignments will focus ecologically. What's going on in their classrooms? How can our content, work with that? Our action research project, which I think is really cool, it goes in concert with the practicum, right? So the students are in their environment. We either figure out a location for them or we work with them where they're at. The practicum is the do and the action research is the evaluation. They go hand in hand, and that's a unique aspect of ours. Some other key assignments, very developmental stuff, learning to assess both motor development and motor learning and how to, you know, translate that and apply that to what's going on in their classroom. And then a really special emphasis on universal design for learning. I know that Sally Miedema teaches that class right now, and there's an emphasis on what's going on in your class. Almost all of them are in a situation where they're teaching kids with and without disabilities in the same class. Almost all of them come to us and say, this is a struggle. And so how can they work together to make that better in an iterative format? And those assignments really are more organic. Right? So it's hard for me to say this is what they're doing when it's variable and that's, you know, universal in and of itself. And much, much more. So, all right, so there's that practicum again, and this was the struggle to online education, right? We were one of the first to do this. I'd like to say we're the first, but I don't know if that's true. But, you know, how do you make a practicum effective in a virtual way? And unfortunately, the pandemic helped with that, necessitated this, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback from our students that they've really enjoyed it. They've learned a lot. We try to work with them in whatever their current situation is and find the very best teachers we can in the area to help support and work with us in working with them. And sometimes there are alumni. So as we're growing and continuing in our existence, our pool of folks to help support these practica experiences is getting bigger and better. So, but the main emphasis, as I've said, is about applying course content knowledge they've gained in our classrooms, scaffolded along the way into their own settings. I think I went really fast here. So again, these are upcoming start dates for both summer and fall. Here is a QR code, and Melissa and Amanda, you'd be proud of me. I learned how to do this. I would have normally called one of them and said, hey, help. So if you want to scan the QR code, it'll give you a link directly to our landing page for our program that has everything, tuition, the bulletin descriptions of the courses, start dates, so on and so forth. There's Andrea and my contact information if you have any questions. And I know we're not taking questions now. Wait till the end, but thank you. Thank you again for your time, Melissa, and for hosting.
Great. Thanks, Allie. Very nicely done. I am now gonna share screen and it will be Amanda and I. It'll be our turn to talk about our master's program here at Long Beach State. Amanda, you can go ahead and start us off.
All right, thank you so much. So we're just going to share a little bit about our program here at CSU Long Beach. Brock, we did copy your little picture of the map so people could see exactly where we are. So thanks for putting that in there. But just a quick little update. We've got a bachelor's in physical education, teacher education. In the state of California, you also have a separate credential and a separate added authorization for adapted PE. So we've got the bachelor's degree, the California credential in single subject physical education, and then the added authorization for adapted PE. We do offer our added authorization and our master's program High Flex for, well, parts of it, High Flex for students that do have a teaching credential, and we'll kind of get into that. We've currently got about 75 undergrad and post-bac APE students. And then we've got five full-time faculty, tenure-track faculty, and five part-time lecturers in our program.
Then we've also got GPE and APE together, the tenure-track faculty.
Yes, yes. And that 75 number is our undergrads in GPE and APE plus our post-bac added authorization and credential students. We've got a lot of different avenues in how you can come to Long Beach and earn a number of different degrees or credentials. And then specifically about our master's program, we've got a master's in art in curriculum and instruction, and we've got two tracks. So we've got the PEAT track for GPE teachers and our APE track. We've currently got about 30 students. Most of them are part-time. It is a two-year program that is 36 units, and we culminate at the end with a capstone project. We are also currently in year two of five of our OSEP funding. That's Project CAPE. So we've got an OSEP grant that provides tuition, all that good stuff for our master's students or scholars. And we currently have 12 scholars in the program. So for specifically our APE track, some of the classes that our students take include behavior management, which we think is huge. And we currently have 42 students enrolled in our behavior management class, which is amazing. So we think more people need to know about behavior management, right, Barry? We've also got a universal design course that, and both behavior management, or some of our master's classes are taken by both APE and GPE students, which is great. We, Melissa and I, really fought for that. They also take research methods and statistics courses, physical and motor assessment in APE, collaboration in APE. They do a capstone course at the end. They take an instructional design in physical education course and computer applications in physical education. So those
So they
are
have
our main courses.
36 total units, and for their adapted PE added authorization, they need 27 units.
So then some of our signature assignments, of course, a lot of them go with our practicums, which we'll talk about next. But specifically for the behavior management class, they do a single subject design research project on changing some kind of behavior. We've got a peer buddies or unified PE program proposal that they put together. So working APE teachers working with GPE teachers to propose a peer buddies program. They do a collaboration project, collaborating with anyone that they are working with. Like we said, most of our master's students are full-time teachers, so they're teaching out in the field. So a lot of the things that they do in class with us, they go and work out with their students that they're actually teaching. They do the, so in California, we have California APE guidelines according to our state. And so they do a project to read through the guidelines and kind of understand their roles and responsibilities as an APE teacher in California. They do a computer applications project, so lots of technology-based programming. They can pick up an application or a website and kind of present that to the class. Assessment. This is one of our big courses. Dr. Bittner loves this class and has done a lot of hard work in it. Our students do an assessment out in the field. They write IEPs, student assessment reports, and they have a mock IEP meeting, which is really cool. They also do a disability sport presentation, so looking into disability sport and community-based programming, what's available for students in our area. They do an IDEA disability presentation, so looking into those disability categories and what that means for our students. They do an allied professional interview, so really nice. We really kind of focus on collaboration and how APE teachers are part of that IEP team. So lots of collaboration in our program. And then they finish with a capstone project. So this could be research-based, it could be project-based, something that the students are really interested in and something that they can take and use in their area. So a couple, maybe some examples, like students are creating a behavior management website or a culturally responsive pedagogy website with activities that other teachers can do. We've got some research projects about a peer buddy program over the summer, advocating for elementary physical education in the state of California. So they're really kind of open to whatever capstone project they are interested in. And then they finish with an e-portfolio. So all of our credential students and our master's students have an e-portfolio, electronic portfolio that they put together with the coursework and things that they do throughout our program. And then they can take those into job interviews or future settings to kind of show off what they've done. And we do have an example here. So if you scan that QR code, you can see Venus Lyon and her e-portfolio. So she's one of our current master students, and she just finished her out of authorization. So you can
Yeah,
kind of check
here's,
that out.
yeah, here is her. Again, all of our students have a electronic portfolio, so they have a home tab. And so it tells us just a little bit more about her, sort of like about me, and then it has her resume and her cover letter. So here's some lesson plans that she has, that she's completed. Here's a curriculum plan that she's done, some pictures of her teaching. Let's see, it's like some assessment reports that she's completed, an IEP that she's done. Let's see, all the different things. Some, thematic activities, some units, fitness. So yeah, that's just kind of an example of an exit portfolio that all of our students have to do. And again, it's something that when they are interviewing for a job, that they can, rather than just verbally tell them about a cool lesson plan, they can pull it up and show. So it's something that they can do on the spot for job interviews. And I will also say this QR code, because hey, Allie, we couldn't do a presentation without a QR code, will take you to some of our signature assignments. So if you
Oh.
wanted to see, yeah, I'll pull up the link real quick. So we've got, oh, here's our an IE, here's our IEP assignment and the rubric that goes along with it. Here's our lesson plan assignment, and what goes along with it, our curriculum project and the rubric that goes with it. And I think we've even got a couple student examples in there. So again, I thought that would be really beneficial for you all, for anyone, just to see, like, here's some examples of our actual assignments that we do. So I wanted to share those in case you were interested. And again, not all of them are there. If there is a particular assignment you're like, hey, I'm really interested in that single subject design behavior management assignment that you all do. If it's not in that folder, just email us and we can share.
And their practicum experience. Melissa, you want to take this one?
Sure. Our students will, at minimum, do at least 120 hours in APE observations. And of course, that excludes student teaching, those that will need to student teach in APE. They'll do that in addition to that. We, for our practicum experiences, our CAPE students also do what we call the Best in the Business tour. And so on Tuesday, Thursdays, they have to get a minimum of 5 hours a week where they get paired with some of the best APE teachers in Southern California. So they're seeing like APE teachers of the year, those who have been exemplary, maybe come through the program, those that we know about. And so every month they do 4 weeks with a particular APE teacher. They observe and assist for 3 weeks. And then that fourth week, they take the reins and get to teach the classes. And that APE teacher will provide them with feedback on their teaching. Other practicums that we do all the practicums, as you will quickly see. We are very firm believers in hands-on learning. Very similar to our assignments, I should also say that our assignments aren't really like fluff work. They're very like hands-on, practical things that you would need to do in the field. So our after-school program is every Tuesday, Thursday. This is open to individuals with and without disabilities, 3 to 21 years of age. We have a gym where we've got younger students and then our older students. It's an hour. For the first 30 minutes, the students are paired one-on-one with a student with a disability. They assess, then they program, they write a curriculum, a unit plan for them, and they post-assess and then do the mock IEP. The second 30 minutes of the program each day, they take turns being the lead APE teacher. And so they put together a 30-minute APE lesson, and then obviously they teach. After the class is over, we do 30 minutes of reflection, which Barry LaVey will absolutely say is the most important 30 minutes of the day. We systematically reflect as a group on, what went well, what would you change with regard to your lesson. We have a transition practicum on Wednesdays from 10 to noon. Well, I guess it's an hour, and then we do 50 minutes of reflection. So this is with our intro students. And we bring in 18 to 22-year-olds from Long Beach Unified School District, and they come to campus. Same deal for the first 30 minutes, they get paired one-on-one, and they go to our Life Fit Center, which is our fitness facility. And they do, we assess and then we do programming. And then the second 30 minutes, they're in small groups and they get a chance to be the lead APE teacher. And then we go back to the classroom and then we reflect. We have the ACT program, Adult Community Transition Program. This is on Wednesdays. This is only for our Project CAPE students, and it's for 18 to 22 year olds from the Long Beach Unified School District who come to campus. And we do a aquatics unit in this program. Of course, we have our famous Camp Nuggets, which is our summer camp for children with and without disabilities. We had over 100 kids with disabilities last summer for our four-week program, which is 9 a.m. to noon, mid-June to mid-July. And we have peer buddies. We had 12 peer buddies last summer. So peer buddies are typically developing peers, and one of our master students did her capstone project on that. We will be continuing that into the future. And we have junior counselors for Camp Nugget. So like, what happens when you're over 12? Well, when you're 13 to 21, you can still come to Camp Nugget and be a junior counselor. And through this, they get to assist setting up equipment, picking up equipment, transitions to different activities, and we write them a letter of recommendation at the end of the program. So that's Camp Nugget, our summer camp. It is a kind of a gym and swim where they do, so from 9 until 11, we are dry land, and then 11 to noon, we do aquatics. Ooh, and we had Monica Lepore come out and teach our Camp Nugget staff, which was an amazing experience to have her expertise to get the adapted aquatics certification. We have an inclusive elementary practicum. As Allie mentioned earlier, that students with and without disabilities. So we go to a local elementary school and we teach this as part of our elementary methods course. And then finally, we have Archery for All Abilities, which is an archery program that we put on for students with disabilities. It is a three-week archery program. So those that are hyperlinked, you can check out the videos. So if you wanted to learn more about ASAP or Camp Nugget or Archery for All Abilities, we've got videos that you could check out with regards to those programs. All right, Amanda, did I miss anything?
No, I think one of the big things is that we really pride ourselves on these hands-on experiences, and we cannot do it alone. Yes, they are part of our coursework, but we also have our OSEP scholars that help run and lead the practicums. So shout out to our OSEP scholars. Very helpful for this.
Right. And we write a lot of grants yes, to support these programs, both the internal and external grants. So thank you to all those that help fund these amazing programs. All right, next we're going to pass the baton to Brock McMullen, University of Wisconsin La Crosse.
Thank you very much. So the first thing that I wanted to share is, where in the world is La Crosse? Again, some of you may or may not have heard of it. So you can see here on the map, the regional map of the general Midwest, that La Crosse is right on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. We are right on the Mississippi River, and we are about maybe 30 or 40 minutes from the border of Iowa. And, you know, a trip to Minneapolis takes about 2.5 hours, about 3 hours, 2.5 or so to Milwaukee, 4, 4.5 to Chicago. Again, just to give people a reference of where we are at. And our university as a whole, we are primarily an undergraduate university with about almost 9,500 students, and then just under 1,000 students or so in our graduate programs. And again, that's not our adapted PE graduate program at all. That is all graduate programs on campus. We have some very popular and very large programs in our health sciences with physical, occupational therapy, physician's assistant studies, et cetera. The town of La Crosse, or the city of La Crosse, sorry, is about 50,000 people. And again, the surrounding area equals about 80,000. And within those schools in the surrounding area, we partner with approximately 3 to 4 of those districts each semester for our students to go out and do their practicum or clinical hours. So go on to the next slide. So to give you a general overview of our program, our students here in our undergraduate program complete our program within a physical education, health education, and adapted physical education degree. So our students in our undergraduate program will leave here with all three licenses from the state of Wisconsin. So one unique part about Wisconsin is that we are one of a few states in the country that has an additional adapted physical education teacher license, very similar to California. And again, within our undergraduate program, our students take these adaptive PE classes. And as a graduate student, you would actually be working with some of our lower level undergraduate students in our adaptive PE classes in one of our clinicals or practicums. It's our Thursday night motor development program that we have and run here on campus. But more about the graduate program, we have two different areas of emphasis. We have more of a general physical education and an adapted physical education track. Totaling about, depending on if you do a thesis or project, most of our students, 99% of our students, choose the project option. It totals 36 credits. And the way our adapted physical education program works is that it is in person, and again, a majority of our students complete it in four consecutive semesters. So summer, fall, spring, and summer. We, unlike South Carolina, we do not have an online option for our adapted PE program. And again, a majority of our students do complete the program full-time in person. We've had a couple students, local teachers, complete our program on a part-time basis, maybe over 2 or 3 years. But again, that's not the common way. Most of our students, again, are full-time in person. We have 5 full-time faculty who are tenured or tenure track, and then 3 full-time lecturers in our program. And again, even our adapted PE students, similar to how Melissa or Amanda described the program at Long Beach, those students in both of those tracks take some combined courses together. So for example, curriculum development class, again, that's a class that is taken by both our general and adaptive physical education graduate students. And then we are OSEP funded. We are currently in year 3 of 5 for funding. And what that funding does provide is all of our students are able to come here to UW-La Crosse, again, if they're a full-time student, and get 100% of their tuition covered. And again, so that's a great perk for those students that are interested in coming here to get all of their tuition covered. Now, again, just with the financial constraints of what we have and what the grant is able to offer, there's not too much extra that we can give for living expenses, but it is nice to know that you can have 100% of your tuition covered for a graduate program. And the unique part about our program right now is that we have an interdisciplinary aspect with our graduate school psychology program. So our school psychology program is a 2-year program over in our psychology department, but our students and them take 3 courses together over in their department. And those courses are behavior assessment and management, a consultation and collaboration course, and then a course in special education law. That special education law course has been, our students in adaptive physical education have taken that course with the school of psychology folks probably for the last 10 to 15 years. It's those 2 additional courses, the behavior assessment, behavior management, and the consultation and collaboration course that are new and are part of this interdisciplinary grant that we have together. Excuse me. And then with those top 2 courses, the behavior management and the consultation and collaboration course, students are, because we have a group of school psychologies and a group of adapted PE students taking those courses together, they do have some course assignments where they are required to go out into our local schools and perform behavioral assessments on students and create behavior management plans and implement them with each other and then with the teachers that are working with those students out in the schools. So again, a great way for our students to, again, take what they learn in class and then apply it to what the real life situation is going to be. So again, very similar to what Melissa stated, is that we really do try to not have our assignments just be fluff and extra. We want to make our assignments that are going to be something that are useful and that you can use, again, hopefully in the future. Additionally, we have host monthly seminars with our graduate students in both programs that focus on various core competencies that are needed within the field of special education. So we bring in various school professionals, experts in the field, again, to speak to our students about, again, proper collaboration, parental rights in the IEP process. We bring in local school administrators to talk about, you know, skills and content that is needed for our students to be successful in the field. And then additionally, again, like many of our other programs that we've heard about here, we have a lot of practicum or field experience opportunities. So part of the program, our students are paired one-on-one with a local adapted physical education teacher. So again, our local teachers in adapted PE in the K-12 schools do this as a full-time job. And our students will spend approximately, you know, give or take, about 140 to 150 hours a semester out in the schools working with this teacher, teaching courses, attending IEP meetings, other special education staff meetings. And that those hours out in the schools are in addition to our various on-campus programs that we run as well in the fall, spring, and summers. So in the summers, we run a bike camp. We teach kids with disabilities, school-age kids with disabilities, how to ride a two-wheel bike. Again, that's a lifelong skill that most all of us can do, and it's very important for kids with disabilities to be able to do so that they can participate in lifelong physical activity. And then we also run an adapted sport league during the summers. And the reason, one of the reasons we do that is because our local high schools participate in an adapted sport league. So we actually have varsity level sports for kids with disabilities here in the southwest corner of Wisconsin for kids with disabilities to play floor hockey, soccer, and wiffle ball or baseball. And that adapted sport league model at the high school level, it started here in La Crosse area about 10 or 12 years ago and is now expanding to other corners of the state. So it just happened about a couple months ago where our students, some students from the La Crosse area actually drove over about 2.5 hours to play a different school in an adapted sport league game. So again, what we're trying to do and what we're trying to provide our students with disabilities at the K-12 level is similar school experience that their non-disabled peers get. And again, all these experiences, these teachers that are putting on these adapted sport leagues, our adapted PE students are working with them out in the schools on a weekly basis. So next slide. So just to give you a general overview of what some of the courses our students take. So you can see there the list of APE specific courses. And I would say that the two most important courses our students take are the assessment course in adapted PE. And then, you know, it's a course, but it's an experience, but it's our clinical internship, the field experience that our students get out in the schools. And one aspect of, you know, the adapted PE assessment course and the connection with the clinical part is that our students, you know, they go through IEP meetings, they collect assessment data. And then what they do as part of the course is they collect that assessment data and then they craft or create a mock IEP and present it in an IEP meeting that's for the student that they're working with out in the school. So again, it gives our students an opportunity to authentically collect assessment data on a student, use that information to create present level of performance statements, to draft annual goals, and then present to their classmates about this particular student, why they need services, these are their goals, and these are what we're going to continue to do. And then again, I also mentioned a little bit ago that we do have some overlap with our non-APE graduate students that are in our physical education program. And you can just see a few of the courses there that our students take together. And one of the unique parts that a lot of our students like and enjoy is that they're able to take some adventure education, outdoor education classes. And again, that's another unique aspect to our graduate program is some of those adventure or outdoor education classes, again, that our adapted PE students get to take. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Brock. And last but not least, we've got Amori from SUNY Brockport.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Dr. Amori Samalot Rivera here from the College of Brockport to talk about our master degree in adapted physical education. So SUNY Brockport, where is Brockport located? So we are about 1 hour from Buffalo, hour and a half from Niagara Falls. So it's cold. It's really cold right now. we have a lot of snow, but it's a beautiful place, you know, a great place to conduct your graduate school, graduate studies. So we have different master degree programs here. We have general physical education. We have adapted physical education. We have athletic training. And we also have athletic administration. In relation to adapted physical education, so we do offer an adapted physical education concentration at the undergrad level. And of course, our adapted PE master degree. We have five faculty right now for our AP program, Dr. Laura Lieberman, Dr. Douglas Collier, Dr. Christian Martinez, Dr. Kathy Houston Wilson, and myself. In terms of assistantships, we have about five graduate assistantships available through different scholarships that Dr. Lieberman have and other departmental ones. For the adapted physical education concentration at the undergrad level, once students take and pass a class titled Introduction to Adapted Physical Education, they can choose to complete the concentration in adapted PE. And it's a total of 15 credits. At the graduate level, we have adapted PE with concentration, with certification, sorry, and that is for those that have an initial teaching certificate in the state of New York. In the state of New York, in order to get your professional or permanent teaching certificate, you are required to have a master's degree. So they give you up to 5 years to complete that once you start teaching in the schools. So, but we also have the adapted PE master without certification, right? And that's the one for those that are out of state or international students that want to pursue their professional master degree studies. And lastly, we have an advanced certificate. There are teachers that need professional development hours for purpose of tenure or advance in the profession, and they can take different adapted PE classes at the graduate level. Something that is important to mention, our program now is offered online. It used to be a presential program, but based on conversation with students in different conferences and things like that, you know, many were asking about an online opportunity, and that's what we did. So now our program is 100% online, a combination of synchronous and asynchronous course experiences. So our curriculum, students need to complete around 30 credit hours. There's a research component in which they take different classes related to research design. And at the end, they have a culminating project, which they develop a synthesis or a thesis, and they work on one-on-one with a research advisor and complete that project. In terms of adapted PE coursework, students need to complete 15 credits. And the courses that they need to take are instructional strategies, in which they work on planning, assessment, curriculum design, IEPs, and things like that. Adapted physical activity and sports. So it's more related to adapted sports and different things they can do in the community. Also program development in adapted PE. So after school programming for a student with disabilities. Consultation in adapted physical education. In this one, students do different projects, and they actually have like a field experience in which they do practicum hours, and they interview teachers, and they end up developing like a presentation and provide consultation to an adapted PE teacher. And lastly, seminar and practicum in adapted physical education. Next, please. Thank you. So, different field experiences that students can have through our program. Of course, for those that are closer to Brockport, that are doing work with a different faculty, with GHE positions, have more access to this. But if not, we have students out of state or from other countries, we try to help them find similar opportunities so they can have those hands-on experiences. For field experiences, we have our swim and gym program. This one is for students that are taking the Introduction to Adapted PE course, but grad students that are around here, they work and supervise this program. We also have Rochester Rookies, which is an adapted track and field sport program for wheelchair users. The West Side Tennis program, which is like an inclusive tennis program. A Special Olympics weightlifting program, and this is one that I run with one of my colleagues from the exercise science department. And we once a week, we get together with youth and older adults with intellectual disabilities and provide them weightlifting programs, get them ready to participate in Special Olympics. We have a gymnastics program for students with autism. And of course, we have Camp Abilities. I'm pretty sure that many of you have heard about Camp Abilities, a summer camp for individuals with visual impairments, created by Dr. Laura Lieberman. This camp is available in different states and countries. And this is not a field experience, but we provide our students with the opportunity to participate and present in different conferences like Shape of America, New York State AFER, and New York State AFER Central and Western Zone that is offered here at Brockport every year. Some of the signature assignments that students do during our courses, they conduct interviews to APE teacher, to APE consultants, and higher education professionals. They do assessments. They develop curriculum. They design a Paralympic festival. adapt a sport program, community design. So that one is focusing more on transition. And they also have a practicum about 90 hours with students that have identifiable disabilities. And for further information, you can contact our graduate coordinator for our department and program, Dr. Douglas Collier. And he provided his phone number and email, or any one of the faculty here at Brockport, either Dr. Laura Lieberman, Dr. Martinez, Dr. Houston Wilson, or myself. And that's it. That's our adapted physical education master degree program at the College of Brockport.
Excellent. Thank you all. All right. Now at this time, that was great timing, everybody. I don't know how we arranged that, but the last 10 minutes, we will open it up for some Q&A. So you can ask any of the panelists questions about their program. Hi, Barry, you got a question?
Yeah, great presentation, everyone. So I'm just going to open this up to all the presenters. What do you think, what do you feel are the biggest challenges facing graduate AP programs in the future? What would you say? Maybe we could get a discussion going to that, and what regarding the future for graduate programs and adaptive P, maybe barriers or challenges, or what are you optimistic about?
I'll start. I think one of the biggest challenges are filling the seats. Universities are all about, you know, FTEs and courses being, you know, meeting capacity. And so I think recruitment is something I know Amanda and I have really expanded lately and plan to expand aggressively more in the future. Just trying to get the word out. Sometimes we are the best kept secret. As soon as like students know about us, they're like, wow, I want to do that. What an amazing profession. But oftentimes they just don't know enough. They don't know that adapted PE exists and it's something that they can do. So I know at least for us that recruitment is one of our biggest challenges. And I guess moving into the future too, I think universities are going to recognize that, and some of these small programs are going to find themselves potentially in danger if we don't become larger. Amari?
Yeah. Following up on that, I agree 100%, because one of the challenges we were having here at Brockport was actually recruitment, and many people asking to have an online option, like, you know, teachers required to have a master's degree in order to get their permanent or professional teaching certificate, and they're like teaching, they're coaching, they are, you know, they have their families, and on top of that, they have to do grad school. So many were looking for an opportunity to do online school, and since we did that, definitely it had helped in the recruitment aspect of having more students in our program. And I think the other one is funding to provide students with the opportunity to be a graduate assistantship assistant. So and you know, have a more diverse group of students within our programs.
Do you feel like, maybe Allie, like you, do you feel like the future there's going to be more and more online? What, you know, you've developed an online program. What are the pros and cons of that? What are some of the challenges that you've faced that maybe you weren't aware of that were going to happen or whatever? Because, you know, I think maybe the, you know, future's going in that direction. And what are some of the cautions, or what are some of the real positives besides recruiting?
Well, I think that the biggest positive to our program is that we're able to work with teachers who are teaching, right? So mm-hmm. we developed the program intentionally, understanding that we wouldn't be able to hire a GA for this program because we wouldn't want them to leave their job. Right? Historically, a GA has to come work for you at the university during, you know, the daytime so that they can assist you with maybe the undergraduate program or assist with practica. And we, our doctoral students do that here, but we knew that in order to be able to get people in the seats, as we know we have to be able to do, we had to, you know, give up the opportunity to provide graduate assistantships for the flexibility, real world type work, you know, iteration and reflection and practice as they go. So I would say that for us, it's a real strength and a real positive aspect of being able to work with them in real time. They come to class and say, hey, we taught this today and here's what's happening and how can you help? And our faculty and the students together, all together, can work together to help create the best experience for them. So I don't know if that answered your question, but for us, that's a real pro. And I would say a con, of course, is cost of attendance. We've tried really hard to mitigate that with a 30 credit hour degree program. It's about as low as you can go without sacrificing, you know, knowledge they need to have, providing the in-state tuition for all. You know, we did the very best we could in terms of making it cost effective.
Rosa, you had a question?
Yes, sorry. Hello, everybody. This is Rosa from Turkey. First of all, I would like to say that I'm really sorry that I was a little bit late because I just jumped into from another online event. And if my question is not relevant because of maybe I missed in the beginning, but I will just ask, I would like to hear your opinion about what do you think about, it's actually also related to the previous question, not only going online to teach the upper courses, but what is your opinion, including and engaging more assistive technology and innovative technologies into teaching adapted physical activity for, especially for the press service teachers?
I'll go first. Yeah. I think assistive technology is going to be huge in the next 10 years, particularly for students with significant support needs. I think we've seen a lot of uptake on things like switches and leaf blowers. And in fact, Nick P just, I think in December, maybe it was November, we did a whole section on assistive technology and it was amazing. So just think like in 10 years, how much technology has already changed and what the possibilities are. So I'm really excited about, you know, 3D printing and making switches and how some of that especially can help, like I said before, students with significant support needs. I think that that can really enhance some of their mobility. I know Barry like kind of laughed in 1975, like assistive technology was you hung a ball from a rope. And that was, you know, that was kind of a big thing. And I think that with technology, the sky's the limit. And I think it's really going to enhance what we do and how we can do it and how we can provide services. So I think there is a huge uptick in the next 10 years of what might be possible. Others?
I would agree. Excuse me. I would agree. And I think it's important that, again, we don't just use assistive technology to say we're using it, but we use it to actually benefit the students and give them some sort of educational support. So again, while I'm all for expanding the opportunities of different types of technology, making sure that our students understand that it's not just good enough to say, oh, I used an iPad or I used this in class. It's like, okay, great. But how did that help the student that you're working with grow and progress towards, you know, a certain learning goal or outcome? But I mean, definitely an expanded role for technology to be used in the schools in the future.
Brock, to expand on that, I think that Matt Baker, who's an APE teacher in Fairfax County, Virginia, is working on like an assessment to help determine what assistive technologies a student in APE might need. So hurry up with that, Matt. I think that's some fascinating research you're working on there.
May I just add something to that? Yeah, like what Brock says is actually just making me think about it. And it's, I guess, very important because, yes, we use the iPads, we use the mobile phones, we use a lot of online tools. But then maybe now there's a need for us, the PhD candidates, PhD students, and the academics in APA field. We need to make a research on how are those tools and devices benefiting to our teaching and for the students' learning, and how we can assess that how they are working. Right? Yeah, I just wanted to add, and it's a really important point what Brooke brought out. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I would say that it's like any assignment that, you know, what I learned over the years is I'm not going to have my students do busy work, and I want them to do assignments that are specific to teaching in the field and what they're going to use. And so I think with technology, you could do the same thing, is really look at, okay, what are, from a technology standpoint, what are the skills that they need to survive as an adapted physical education teacher? I was kind of excited when we did that presentation was given, because I said, wow, I wonder what the next 5 years, and as someone who's been teaching since the 70s, I mean, like I shared with Melissa, like the leaf blower of the 70s was we'd get a Nerf ball and hang it from a, you know, basket. So I think, you know, that like, it's like any assignment is that a skill set that the students need and to survive? And I think that's really important when you're sitting down and looking at assignments that, you know, because you can only give so many assignments. I think that's one thing I took from this presentation. I've always felt that way. Like it was good to see that there's, you know, all these programs are doing realistic assignments that teachers can exit with, you know, and leave with.
All right. I want to thank everybody. We're running out of time here. Want to thank everyone for joining us today. Great conversation. In February, so our next NCPED AP Collaborative, we're actually going to look at some exemplary PhD programs and see what are some things that they're doing. So hopefully if you all have a PhD program or looking to start including doctoral candidates in your program, you can view this upcoming collaborative and get some great ideas from that as well. I've also put it in the chat. If you have an interesting idea for a future NCPED APE collaborative, we're very interested and open to all kinds of topics or speakers. So thanks for giving your suggestions. And finally, a big thank you again to our panelists who discussed their exemplary APE master's programs. Thank you all for doing what you do. Much, much appreciated. Until next time, bye all.
Bye.